This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Thank you to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting The Boop Show. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/BOOP. This is the, what is it? This is The Boop Show, episode 254 for Monday, August 3rd. Hey, everybody, it's Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway for The Boop Show, and Brian's looking at a skull. That's a cool one. Where'd you get that? It looks real.
It was a Halloween decoration, yeah. And it's fantastic. It's real heavy. It's not like no cheap foam thing. This thing's got mass to it. But what I'm using it for lately is to hold my headphones.
Oh, that's a good idea. And pick its nose. It's cranial hole. What do you call that? Nasal cranium. No.
Yeah, nasal cranium. That's exactly what it is.
Sinus hole. Whatever they are. Sinus hole, you know.
Sinus hole.
Welcome to The Boop Show, everybody. I failed to mention it's 2020, but you probably figured that out. And we're doing a show. We got one to do. Can't believe it's 254 of these damn things. I don't remember when we brought it back to the whole Brian and Scott routine, but it seems like it's been for a while now. Yeah. And in the best way possible. So I hope you guys continue to enjoy the show while we enjoy talking to you about these things. Time for a video game discussion. All right. Because the show focuses a lot on the smaller efforts out there, today I start with a smaller effort, but one I think worth your time. And Brian's played this as well, so it's not like he's going to come to this completely unknowing. In fact, I think you may have spent more time than I did based on your time played. But we're going to find out shortly when we talk about the game Carrion. Or is it Carrion? Is it Carrion?
No. I've heard people say both. I say Carrion, but I do people. Everybody makes the joke carry on my wayward son, but I go with the Carrion.
Do you think? What was I going to say? Do you think the Carrion? Why can't I select your video? That's really weird.
I don't know. I see it.
I got it now. Why? Why do you think it's carry? They never say in the game. Nobody ever says carry on or Carrion. So what are you basing that on? This game is
they don't give you a lot of backstory other than it's a reverse horror game, and you're playing as the horror.
Yeah, the horror. See, I say horror. I say horror. You say horror.
Right.
So now we've already got more confusion. Anyway, yeah. So the game is it's called Carrion or Carinion, whatever.
Carrion isn't a carrion like a vulture that the deal?
Is that the deal? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
But I think it's also a reference to other things too. I don't think it's just that. I don't want to show my ignorance, but yeah, something like that.
Well, you're a goopy, tentacled, gross-looking blood monster that's in space, kind of think of like Dead Space sort of idea or Alien or whatever. You're in some old derelict freaking space station place, and you're all goopy, right. And you go through the different tunnels and stuff that are in this place. You go through the vents. To travel, you move very quickly between screen and screen. Think of it as a little bit of a what do you call it? Metroidvania. Thank you.
It's a 16-bit Metroidvania reverse horror is how they describe it. And the reason why it's reverse horror is because you are the horror. And I think most of this creature was based on like the Blob and the Thing.
So that's
kind of where you're at, and it's all in this underground bunker of it's got nuclear power. There's a bunch of scientists. They don't get too deep into the story as you play. I thought there might be some more revelation of what's actually going on, but most of it's just for mood.
Mood. Yeah, it's mood and tone. And also, mm-hmm. you know, given the subject matter, a creature like this would never know anything anyway. It just knows to kill. And so right. you that's your job. You move screen to screen and you very satisfyingly kill scientists and guards in this place.
Yes.
And it's great because it's really satisfying. And when you lose health because you get shot at, and you definitely do lose health quickly in some cases, you can feed on these scientists and or guards and they will replenish your health points. The movement
is, and you're doing, not to interrupt your description,
go ahead.
But yeah, you're as far good. As the health goes, the health is based on the amount of, biomass that you are,
mm-hmm.
And you collect biomass from the scientist and other places as well. But that's as you are reduced when they shoot you or set you on fire and you reduce in size, you reduce in what you say is health and, also, abilities.
Right. That's correct. And some of these abilities you unlock based on your size. So you have a greater bit of strength at some point, so you can tear doors off their hinges and use those doors as weapons, like throwing it back at the dude and smushing him all over the place and then eating him. It's got its own kind of scariness. Like, it's a little scary.
I feel okay. So I laugh because when you said open the door, I mean, you can pull the doors. By default, you're such a blob that moves really fast and you're grabbing stuff constantly. And that's part of the joy of this game is this flow that you have. But also, if you slow down and you can slow down and you can grab a door
mm-hmm.
and just open it and close it.
Yeah.
And I mean,
you're careful.
It just makes me laugh because the whole time you're doing that, the scientists are running in terror, screaming at the top of their lungs or whimpering sometimes, and just opening that door and shutting that door over and over again while they're screaming just gives me this wonderful feeling
You feel like you're an ominous creature who's going to waste these humans, and sure enough that is exactly what happens. Now I haven't beaten it yet. I intend to. I have one glaring complaint about the game. And that is not movement, by the way. Movement is amazing. Some of the most fun, satisfying sense of movement in a game I played in a very long time. No matter, you know, 3D, 2D, don't care. Don't care the style. The way this thing feels is phenomenal. Just an amazing sense of speed and traversal and going from room to room is really satisfying.
It really is. And there's almost a bit of it pulling itself along, even when you go in a certain direction in this underground caverns, the tentacles automatically extend out and grab to the closest object they can, and it actually pulls you a little bit every time. And so you feel like even though you're trying to navigate these kind of, you know, these difficult areas, you're always being pulled and squeezed by the game. Because of the mechanic of the tentacles grabbing the wall, and it just gives you this really good fluid flow. You just like you literally feel like you're sticking to the wall, kind of like Super Meat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of it's just so satisfying to pull along and then to grab humans and just to tear them up. And I had to give my own narrative to this story since they didn't give us a lot of narrative to it.
Yeah.
But I do believe I am the hero here because I don't know what these humans are doing. I don't know what these clone humans are doing because there are a bunch of clones down here in this nuclear facility. They're up to no good.
Yeah.
And I am here to save the rest of humanity from this.
I see. So that's an interesting take. The creature is saving humanity, not eliminating it by taking out these nefarious actors.
These are not humans down in these caverns. These people are. These are not human.
Well, they may be human. They're just up to no good, you know?
They're up to no good. Maybe that's a good one, yeah. They're not. They don't have the characteristics of the spirit of human. How about that?
All right, there. Fair enough. I think this game is super rad and worth the money. It's $20 currently on all platforms, Steam, consoles, and Switch. It is available for free. Well, not for free, but with your subscription to Game Pass PC for Microsoft, if you get it on the Game Pass app, it won't cost you anything additional other than your $4 a month or whatever you're paying. So if you've already got Game Pass, by all means, go get it there. That's what I did.
And this is definitely the best indie game I think I've played this year. I'm going to regret that because I know I'm forgetting something. But I will say that this has been, a very short game, maybe 6 to 8 hours. Yeah. And most of the reason why it's that long is because, like you said, no real. Do we talk about the no map?
Okay. So that's I was going to say my biggest problem with this game, 100% biggest problem, is no map at all of any kind.
No map.
Now you might say, well, that makes sense because you're a big weird creature, and why would you have a map? Only people have maps, and
you know, you have a map.
Like that's right. It makes sense from a lore perspective, maybe, that you wouldn't have a map, but
right.
It would really help the flow of the game. I've gotten lost sometimes in ways that are incredibly frustrating and not fun because I just don't know where to go. Now, it has the sonar feature where you hit one of the shoulder buttons and you get kind of like a weird sonar effect, and it kind of tells you where the next sort of zone you want to go is. That wasn't a sentence.
No, I'm stick with it.
No, it was bad.
Where
I want to go is... I had a diet Dr. Pepper today, and those make me dumb. Anyway.
How many brain cells does that thing kill? I'm with you. The sonar is really not greatly effective. I mean, it usually pops up in one of the four corners, so you kind of have an idea of which direction to go in. But since it's a Metroidvania type, you had to backtrack lots of times because you didn't have the skill to enter certain areas. You saw it, but you didn't have the skill to enter it. So if you're not careful, you can get lost very quickly and go around in circles a lot.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep. Further you go, though, the more disgusting you are and the worse you are. But you have way better life and that sort of stuff. And
yeah, you get huge. Now, they have three different evolutions is what I call them. You start out with a green evolution, then you go to a yellow and a red. Mm-hmm. And in each evolution, you have different abilities. Some abilities are across the board, but some of them do different things. And so you'll have to drop off part of your biomass like in different areas to be able to downsize.
Right. So you can use that ability until you need the other stuff later. Sure. And that's hard because it eliminates some of your strength. So if you go back down to your simple form, your green form or whatever, you've got way less hit points. If you're in yellow form, you've got about double the hit points. If you're in red form, you have triple your original hit points. So
we haven't even touched on the Ed 209s and the mechs.
Oh yeah,
that you can get.
Those are cool.
And you can also control humans, which is really, really important to some of the later game things where you have to get to certain areas you can't get to otherwise. And oh my gosh, but the Ed 209s, that's right, isn't it? RoboCop's
Ed 209. Yep. Yeah. Totally.
And they got these chain guns on those things that just are vicious.
Yeah.
And they will tear you up. Yeah. And it is hilarious
it's
to do.
It's pretty gnarly how that goes.
Did you get to the mechs or the mech area where you could control a human inside a mech and then control the mech?
No, but that's about where I'm at. So I'm sure I'm close to it or something. Right. Also, this idea of like controlling a human. In fact, we're looking at it right now. Controlling a human and making him fire his gun at other guards.
Yes.
It's just a great idea. It's basically like, hey, that thing that's always so scary that you're trying to avoid in movies and games. What if you were that? What if you were this gelatinous freaking tentacle beast that's just feeding on the humans and wreaking havoc and causing this place to go to crap? And it's just great. It's a great, great feeling. My only problem, really again, is that map. They give me a map, 100%. Yeah. This game goes from 90 to 100. Like, that's how I'd feel about it.
I agree. I think that's probably the major complaint about this game is the map. And the reason why is because you do get lost. The developers and the map makers of this game do a pretty good job of letting you know where you're supposed to go to next, but it's definitely not perfect. And if you make a wrong turn,
not even close. I get so lost.
Yeah, if you make a wrong turn, you're screwed. There's like signs and things that as you go along, they'll kind of tell you what the scientists are kind of watching out for. So it kind of gives you a clue what to do, but otherwise, you're pretty much on your own. It's rough. Yeah. Carrion is the name of the game.
Carrion, there you go, guys. Yeah. Available now, $19 everywhere. Steam, consoles, Switch, except Game Pass, where it's free if you already have Game Pass. So I would recommend that.
You know who I love? You know, always puts out good games. The publisher, Devolver Digital, always putting out great indie games.
Yeah, Devolver's great. This was part of their big... I hadn't even heard of it until they were talking about streaming it on their stream a few weeks ago. And I didn't realize it was this close to release. And so when it hit, I went, oh my gosh, that's out now? I'm getting that now. Let me go get it. And I was about to plunk cash down. And then I went, I should probably just check Game Pass. Just let me see.
Right.
Beep, there it is. Game Pass. It was totally there.
Well, anyway. I'm glad you told me about it because I had not heard anything about this. It dropped pretty quick, like you said. I went back and saw a bunch of trailers, and I'm like, how did I miss all of this? But Phobia Game Studio is who developed this, and I'm looking forward to. I am chomping at the bit for them to go ahead and release Carrion 2. Just hurry up.
Yeah, just
make like it. Netflix series. It's just like, just come on. Yeah. Next.
And I'll bet you that sequel has a map. I'm calling it now.
It's got to have a map.
All right. Go check it out. Brian, let's move on to your first game, Surviving Mars. Not new, but great. I love this game. Tell me about your time with Surviving Mars.
Okay. So Surviving Mars has been on my list to play for a long time now. I've been wanting to get in there and see if I could survive Mars. Now, I know Scott's not a big fan of the survival series, but this isn't all survival, right? There's a lot of resource collecting.
Yeah, this is Surviving Mars is mostly it's a city builder with a bunch of possible problems.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So many. Wait a minute. Okay, let me tell you something. This is called a survival game, but it really should be called like I Died on Mars Again.
Well, sort of. It depends. I really appreciate its selection of difficulty settings, because you can really tweak it to make it be what you want it to be. And what I wanted it to be was a city builder with some tension. I didn't want a full-on survival game where I was dying at every turn. So I had dialed a bunch of stuff back, and I had a much better time. But that's the nice thing about it, is you can do that if you want to, you know?
Yeah, I started out on the easy mode the first time I played it, and I died pretty quick, even on the easy mode. That was mostly my own fault. This game is is learn by fail. I mean, they'll give you some tips on what you got to do and where you got to go. But until you actually play it, it's like baseball. Until you've actually seen it and played it, doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. And you don't know what all those settings are. Those settings are very daunting when I first started, because I tried to just start a game outside of the easy setup. And I was like, I don't know. Click, 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 click. I don't know. Click, 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 click. And I made so many mistakes. I picked one of the things you can do when you're first starting is you can choose what landing spot you want. And this is actually based on some of the terrain on Mars. It's actually based on Mars terrain. And you'll pick a spot for whatever reason, maybe because you don't want to deal with a lot of storms, or maybe because you have a resource you think you want to collect. Because the eventual goal this game, Surviving Mars, is to create a colony, but you start out as just a scout ship with drones and setting up the facilities, collecting resources, getting your power grid down, and then you can introduce your colonist who will totally blow it up. So I was learning as I went along, and I was failing a lot, so I started over a whole bunch of times, But I got to say, I really loved it. And it was about the third startup when I really started getting it.
Yeah.
Because there's like just from the point of setting up power grids, it's like, okay, do I want solar power grids, or do I want, you know, wind? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of power grids do I want?
Solar's cool, except when you're on the wrong side of Mars at night, you get no solar. So you got to go, all right, are we going to get some wind here? It makes you make some choices early on that can adversely affect you or benefit you, depending on how you prefer to play it. It's the survival stuff that just annoyed me about it. Not annoyed me, not because it's not well implemented here. Don't get me wrong. It's just that I don't like that. It's not fun to me to constantly be trying to survive. Never interested in a survival game of any kind, really. With the exception of maybe, you know, when I first played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or something. That in a way is a survival game, but a different kind of survival. It's an elimination kind of survival. Right. Whereas this thing where it's like, did I plan for enough of this? Did I have enough power? Oh no, our entire potato farm went dead, and I'm gonna have to use my own poo to make it grow or whatever. Right.
Right. Right.
Like, I can't do that stuff. I hate that stuff.
But why? I blame the developer for not naming it better. Yeah. Surviving Mars. And a lot of things I didn't get because, I don't like playing tutorials. So
you're not a tutorial guy. You want to jump straight to the meat.
It took me even longer. This is kind of how I feel about most games. This is kind of getting off topic a little bit, but it's still on point. I would like to introduce, if you're going to let me play a game, introduce just a little bit of context, a little bit of story is good. And then, but very quickly, give me in and give me some of the basic game mechanics. And then if you want to step back and then give me a tutorial, I'm down with that, because it's really hard for me to follow a tutorial when you're giving me one move at a time, and I feel stymied. I'm like, I'm like, I see what you're teaching me, but I don't know how to put this all together until I get out there. And if the tutorial is too long, in which case this one was way long, mm-hmm. I was doing tutorials for much later game things, and it's probably my own fault for not reading better. Right.
Sure.
But you got to account for my stupidity surviving Mars.
Yeah. A little bit, sort of.
Yeah. So in my preference and heart of hearts, this is how I like a game to come at me. Give me a little bit of context, just a little bit of story, not too much. Japan and all your Japanese games.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then give me a little bit of how the game is going to play, and then go back to the tutorials. That's the way I like to play. That's the reason why.
The best games out there are the ones where you feel like you're learning as you're going. And I feel that way about tabletop. I feel that way about everything, video games included. And I wish more games were better at it, because my preferred way of doing all of that is feeling like I'm doing it as I go, and not I have to go through school to do it.
I don't want to spend 30 minutes to find out that it's not even a game I want to play.
Right.
You know, in a tutorial. I want to just have at least an idea, an inkling of what's coming at me. But Surviving Mars, that's not really Surviving Mars' fault. It is a very robust and complex survival game with a lot of options for ratcheting up difficulty all the way up into colonist choices. You can choose to increase your reward level by creating colonists that allow certain amount of alcoholics.
Yeah.
So you know that's not going to go well.
No. Heavens.
Right. And by the way, when I'm trying to survive Mars and I got my drones, since I skipped a few of the tutorials, this is where I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. With the tutorials that I skipped, they failed to mention, since I didn't see it, the fact that if I place my drones in a certain area and I have my supplies in another area, those drones are just going to sit there. If the supply... it does not overlap.
Yeah, it has to be out. It has to be overlapped into the zone you created. That is correct.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You got to have a demand area and a supply area, and then in between, in a Venn diagram, you got to have your drones, workers.
Yeah, they got to know where to go, because they're robots. They're robots. Not, yeah, there's no people in there that are like, oh, I guess I'm just outside the zone. I'll just go in here. They don't know. They just know where to go because that's where you told them to go. Right.
Right. Yeah. And the research tree, which they're showing right now on the screen, is long and robust. And I always, when I'm not sure about a game and I haven't played in very long, I always go, you know, just one out of this to the tree and then one out of this tree. And I just go and I keep it all well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't always feel like that gives me the satisfaction that I want. But Surviving Mars, not Surviving Mars' fault that I'm a crappy city builder. Mars survivalist, not their fault.
How'd you do with Frostpunk? I don't remember how you were with Frostpunk. Remind me.
Frostpunk was more about the same, because it was very, it's in that vein of, you know, trying to survive and in very limited resources. And but the game itself, Surviving Mars, is great. Been around for a while. It's on the Xbox Game Pass. If you already had that service, there you go. You got Carry On, and now you got Surviving Mars.
Yeah.
You've probably picked it up on the Epic Game Store for free. You probably just didn't even realize it. I had it there as well.
Yep. That sounds right to me. Go check it out. Still worth picking up. Bo Schwartz, by the way, our friend, our good buddy Bo, played that game to death and could give you all sorts of tips on how to beat that game. He loved it.
Hemamont's Games, Paradox Interactive, brought us that.
Yeah, Paradox. Paradox makes good games, by the way. They publish good games.
They really do. Yeah. I have not explored it, but I did see there was a Paradox in Surviving Mars. There you get a sponsor, a corporate sponsor usually, mm-hmm. And Paradox was one of the sponsors, and based on that you get certain supply access.
So wait, like, right? Paradox is a supposed to be like a future giant corporation that's like helping get stuff from Mars. That's great.
Right So it's interesting, all that stuff, every bit of that is this sliding difficulty and variation on what you're going to experience in Surviving Mars. So you're talking about a long replayability, mm-hmm. on this game. I enjoyed that.
There you go. All right. Next up, a game I got on sale because I was dumb and had never heard of it. So I really like what I'm about to tell you about, except I have, again, a couple of caveats. Right. The game I'm going to talk about is Earthlock, and this came out in 2018 also.
Yes.
So we got a couple of 2018 games today. This is on everything, Steam, console, Switch, whatever.
You got it on the Switch? Because I picked it up for like dollars.
Yeah, it was $4.99 on Switch, normally $30. So it's way down in price. I picked it up on the Switch and Steam, which seems crazy, I know, but and I'm not going to be able to swap saves. I just felt like it was too good of a deal. And I really like what this developer's doing. I like what they're doing for their next follow-up game. Earthlock 2 is in development now. And I thought, hey, good deal for $10. That's a third of what it normally is for one copy, and I got two for that price. So that's why I did it. Anyway, it is developed by Snowcastle Games, also published by them. It was released in March of 2018, and like I said, priced at $4.99 currently. The sale is still on, so if you missed this, you can get it, whatever your platform is. So basically, the short description is, it's an indie-developed adventure RPG inspired by the classic 3D RPGs of the late 90s with a fresh take on turn-based combat and character progression. That is really truly what it is. It feels like late 90s PlayStation era.
I should definitely have this on my PSP, maybe. I don't know. Is this
A game like this, yes. I mean, this game just came out, so you won't have this. But it's definitely inspired by those things. And it's definitely one of those, like those Japanese RPGs of the time where you take your turn and you unleash your spells. In this particular case, it's got some cool stance mechanics. So you can say, all right, well, I'm going to be in my magic stance for this fight, or my range stance because there's stuff flying and I can't hit them with my melee. You have different classes.
And that's what I liked about it. The stance was the thing that really switched up the battles for me. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, the stance stuff is very cool, I think. It really changes things up and adds a nice little wrinkle to the game. It's really pretty in a kind of a basic way. Actually, the art style, I would compare it to something like Torchlight 2 or something. Hmm. Like, it's a lot of big textures and not basic arenas, but, you know, it's not crazy, but it also just has a nice, pleasing look to everything. I played probably 3 hours of this thing, and here's the problem. I've only found this one problem one time, and I'm super annoyed by it. So I'm going to share with you now my big problem. And my big problem is this, Brian. This game has a save system, like all games have some sort of save system. Yeah. And the save system is okay. It's go up to a little pillar, push a little button, beep, boop, beep. Do you want to save? And by the way, I really like this world. Because everything's kind of cyberpunky, or not cyberpunk. What's the word I'm looking for? Steampunky, kind of.
Yeah.
Supposedly based on more of a what am I trying to say? Like based on some ideas in fantasy lore that are more Scandinavian and a little less like, you know, Western RPGs or even Japanese RPGs. Even though some of these mechanics are very JRPG.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
It's a good way of putting it, I think, or at least as close as I could come to describing it. But anyway. What was I going to say? Okay, so the save system. There are these little pillars. You click them. Beep, you're saved. It's like, thanks, I'm moving on. Now, if anything bad happened to you, you start at the save point. All right? You would think that after going through a whole bunch of stuff, finding a save point, and then going, all right, now from here, I'm going to move on. And you go through like 12 enemies, 3 floors of a place, looting a bunch of stuff, doing a side quest, and then you get to a boss. There's no save pillar outside the boss or anywhere near the boss. So you're just way up into this thing, and there's no feasible way to run back down to the save point because you're way up there in this thing, and there's no running back because every time you leave a screen, you go back to it Zelda style, like original Zelda style.
That's
it's repopulated
exactly
with bad guys.
Reminds me of a Zelda save, kind of.
Yeah, because all the bad guys are back. They respawn when you come back into the screen. That's fine if you want to grind or whatever, but when I'm at a boss, and that boss fight is a tricky one, I'm at the very... probably the first major boss, or maybe there were a couple others, but this one seemed major. He even says,
"This is a,
I'm major boss."
He goes, "This is a weird fight, and you're going to have trouble with it if you don't think about it a little bit." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" But then my partner guy goes, "Yeah, we can totally win this, but we have to be smart." I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?"
You're like, "Shut up, partner guy."
Yeah, just say what you mean when you say be smart. Anyway, I do the fight. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm definitely kind of trial and erroring it here, and I am losing hard. Dude's dying left and right. I got 3 people in my party. 2 of them are now dead. I'm the final guy. Not nearly enough taken off the boss. End up losing. And it says, do you want to go to the main menu? You want to continue from your last save? I'm like, well, I'll continue from whatever you let me do. And it's way down in the basement, 14 encounters ago, and nowhere near this boss. I hate that. Like, it's one thing to just give me a save somewhere right outside. No big deal. Just let me save.
Don't make me grind every time. That penalty is too high, right?
Well, that's not even a grind. That's a do-over. Like, I would. Right. It would be one thing if it said, okay, well, now the next time you go through these 14 encounters, you'll get more XP and items for doing it. Right. On top of what you already did. No, I'm restarting. There's no, that progress is
that's
gone.
Even worse.
Yeah. So, it really annoyed me.
Earthlock. Darn you, Earthlark. Earthlurk.
But.
So you reminded me a while ago when you said you have come up to a pillar and you save. I do that every night. I lay my head
on the pillar. You save the pillar? Yeah, on the pillar?
Yeah. I lay my head on the pillar and I go to sleep.
Nice soft pillar.
I saved it. Yeah. Start back here in this spot in the morning.
I like a firm pillar. Sometimes.
Yeah, firm pillar's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
It's not bad.
So I have a lot of really good to say about it and that one tiny bit of bad. Fact here, Chad, you can see him doing the save here. Or maybe he will. See that thing he's standing next to? Go touch it. Oh, this guy's an idiot. Never mind.
Go touch it. This guy.
But
this guy can't do nothing.
This guy doesn't know what he's doing. But I look forward to make sure I save every chance I get. And it's just punishing if you miss it. So
now's a good time to get into this. So like you said, Earthlock 2 is being developed. There's a pretty good bit of hype around it. And if you want to get in this and get in this world, which I love the world, it's beautiful. I love the battle. The fight places are fun. I like watching the animations in the fights and the characters. Like you said, they're unique. As a matter of fact, I always get just a little bit disappointed whenever I launch this game because I don't know if it's the name or if it's the graphic that is attached to the launch of the game. I always feel a disconnect. And I'm like, Earthlock, what is that? And because I'll see the graphic for the game and it's totally different than the game itself. It looks like a totally different game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a totally different style. And then I'll get in and I'm like, oh, yeah, this game. And I'm like, it's fine. I like this game when I'm intending to play this game. But when I see the artwork and I'm like, this is not the game I clicked on. I wanted to play like some kind of, you know, super cutesy artsy thing. This is not that.
It has moments of that, but yeah, you're right. Like, it's not exactly the logo stuff isn't exactly matched the game, but I would recommend it at this price. Even at this price, it's still a recommendation despite my save issue. And if it turns out, dude, that I just missed the save pillar outside of that place, because I'm going to go up through there again, and if I don't find it, I'm putting a needle in somebody's eyeball. I'm telling you right now.
Right. That's somebody's suffering.
Yeah. Pissing me off. All right. That's Earthlock. Go check it out. Available now. Everywhere. All right.
Everywhere.
Brian, tell me real quick mention though before we move on. I been playing a lot more Tetris 99 lately on my Switch.
Ooh.
And I've been doing it for a couple of reasons. One, just Tetris rules and I'm in the mood for it. And two, I was feeling a little rusty. And sure enough, I am. I'm not finishing in the best places or the best positions as I used to. However, they just launched a new Paper Mario event where you could go during a certain couple of days. And if you played enough games, get enough points, you automatically unlock the new theme and music and some other stuff. And so they do this all the time. They did it for Animal Crossing and other stuff. Anyway, so I was doing that and I've been getting creamed. Like the best I was doing was like 30 out of 99, sometimes in the 50s, right? People are just working me. Finally, one game, I get down to almost fourth position. I was either fifth or fourth. I'm not, and I'll tell you why I'm not sure, because normally you'd be able to look and see where you were. And last I looked, it was at five. So somewhere in the five or four range, getting close to the final. Pieces are falling like mad. Total mayhem. There's four of us left. The fight is on. I might win this one. I might really pull
it off.
You're
going to win it.
Bam, 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 pounding away at it. And my Switch died. I didn't charge it enough and it died.
Oh, no.
And I lost it. And I was so pissed. I talked about this on my video show the other day, but I almost threw my Switch across the room. I was so mad. I was so freaking mad. Anyway. Tetris 99, still great, man. That is a reason to have the Nintendo monthly multiplayer fee.
Yeah,
that is the reason.
That's definitely
so good. Anyway,
well, don't blame your Switch though for the things that you didn't do.
No, it's not its fault. I almost said his fault. Give him a name. Yeah, and it's not Larry the Switch's fault. It's my fault.
No, good old Larry the Switch.
No, don't give him too much trouble. All right, Brian, tell me about Hello Guest, Hello Neighbor 2 in Alpha Now. This is a sequel to Hello Neighbor, I
correct.
Guess?
Right. They were kind of keeping it on the down low, so they the studio, which is Eerie Guest and published by Tiny Build. They were trying not to get everybody too excited about their sequel to Hello Neighbor. And so they had a working title of Hello Guest. And so it's finally out in alpha, and I believe anyone can access the alpha right now on Steam, which is where I played it at. If you haven't played Hello Guest before, it's a stealth game of some sort, and with some really wonky physics, but also some really intense moments. Hello Neighbor, and this is Hello Guest, or Hello Neighbor 2. And I love hate these games. I had the same feeling with this one that I did with the first one.
What? So was the first one like that too? Except you were just a neighbor trying to break into somebody's house,
right?
Or something?
Well, yeah, right. You didn't try to break into someone's house just because you're willy nilly trying to, you know, break into someone's house. But what you did was you were your neighbor is acting suspicious. He's got a mustache, you know.
Yeah.
And he's acting suspicious, and so you have to figure out what he's doing. And so you're spying on him, but every time you spy on him, he's like, he's busy doing something. You know, he's busy, you know, putting some bodies in a tub somewhere, and you got to figure out what he's doing. Mm. But he's constantly working around the house. And every time you get close to the house, you always risk getting caught. Same thing here, except now you show up. You're not really a neighbor, I don't think. At least not as far as I've gotten into the story. You'll notice here by the character here, he looks like the original neighbor that you are stalking. And apparently the original neighbor has been kidnapped by this bird mask wearing thing, right? I don't know exactly what's going on. It's creepy. And
bird,
I love
bird
it.
Bird mask wearing thing. All right.
Okay. Yeah, he's wearing like this weird, you know, old school.
A plague doctor looking thing.
The plague doctor. There you go. Yeah, like the old plague doctor kind of thing. So sure. I think this guy is supposed to be like related or something. I didn't get all the story. It's just the alpha. So we didn't get a lot of story. We just kind of jumped right in. We arrived in our van. Ooh. We're trying to look for the guest from the first series.
It's pretty. And why is it so pretty?
It is very pretty. The first one's the same way. They have this very unique art style, and it's actually really, they got some really great merchandise. I don't know if you've ever seen it, the Hello Neighbor merchandise, but this art style really makes this game. What doesn't make the game is the wonky physics, but I get the wonky physics. The physics where you have to stack boxes sometimes to get to certain areas, or you have to jump in certain areas.
I mean, are they wonky on purpose, do you think? Or
they are. They're wonky on purpose, because if you could quickly run in and stack a box and jump where you need to be, the tension would, you know, quickly decrease, because you would be able to be way more skilled than your opponent, right? So at this time, they want you to be a little frustrated stacking boxes, because they want that tension. That's the point of this game, is to make you feel like on the edge of your seat tension. And but it can also be frustrating, because you're trying to get to certain areas and you can't stack boxes. Another thing too about this game, once again, love hate, not a big fan of the physics, but I understand it. But I also don't like, there's not a real direct path this obvious to the solution of puzzles, because that's what you're usually doing. You're trying to solve puzzles to enter certain parts of the houses or such as that, or basements.
And this is a single-player effort? You're not doing this
single,
with friends?
Single-player effort, right. There was a multiplayer version from Hello Guest 2. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
Neighbor?
It was a variation. Oh. It was a variation on the Hello Neighbor thing, but okay. You could play with friends and things too. Hello Friend or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
But yeah, so the other thing is there's not a... The clues aren't always so obvious, and it always feels like this. When I played the first one, I felt the same way. It feels like forever before you get to the first clue or a revelation to move to the next step. And so you feel like you're not making any progress. You feel like you're just running around in circles. And so I like to be rewarded as I go along. Once again, here's Brian telling the developer what Brian wants.
Yeah.
Brian likes to be rewarded a little bit along the way.
Brian knows what he likes, man. He knows what he likes.
Right, Brian knows what he likes. So... this game is more like it's a cascade effect. You know, it's like a long buildup, and then you finally open one thing, and then it just like quickly moves along after that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like it where it's a little more spaced out. I always feel frustrated when I play this, any of these games so far, but I'm getting there. I love it. I know there's always a good payoff. Mm-hmm. There's always a good payoff. So I like being creeped out by it. The sound effects are great. And the physics, even though they piss me off, they also make me laugh, because in this alpha, especially, I don't know if this is going to end up being in the final stuff, but the guy you're stalking, he'll come out and he's like always taking trash out to the road, and of course that's when you always end up interacting with him. And every once in a while he'll get caught in a glitch, and he'll be walking along, and all of a sudden he'll just fall over and he'll go flying across the screen, and he'll start shaking all over the place, and then he'll jump up, and then he's fine. He'll walk on. So I guess they're like, they got some resets. If he gets too messed up, they'll reset it in the game. So, but it's alpha still, very early on. I'm looking forward to the completed projects. But don't worry, even if you play the alpha on this, there's always going to be wonky, glitchy action in these games. This is how they are.
Yeah, it looks like it would scare me, because even though it's goofy and cartoony,
yeah,
it's dark, dude. And that bird guy can bite me. I don't want anything to do with him.
Tension, man. Oh, look, this is pretty scary. Yeah, there's a lot of tension in this game. That's what makes it fun, though.
I don't know. Yeah, so funny.
Reminds me of Five Nights at Freddy's. Could you kind of handle those?
I never played one because I don't even know what you do in them. I have no idea. Never played
too
one.
Much. It's really all about the tension. Most of it's really dark in that game, and it's just all about trying to get you drawn in with puzzles. Mm-hmm. Puzzles and horror games, I think, are a great match.
Yeah.
Puzzles pull you in, make you start focusing in very closely, and then jump scares are great when you have somebody's attention. Right?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
If anyone
works really well.
Knows me, they know that I will jump quite a bit.
And scream like a little girl.
Like a little baby.
No, like a big girl.
There you go. Hey, you guys, let's talk about Raycon for a second. Oh, man, I love these guys. They've been so great to help us out on the show as well. So are you working from home? You probably are. If you're not, it doesn't matter. There's other parts of your life or times in your life where you're like, man, I sure wish I could just listen to my music in privacy, or this podcast, or this, audiobook, whatever it is. I'm trying to stay fit, whatever it is. You want to do it yourself and be there and be in it. You don't need your neighbor's lawnmower interrupting you, right? Well, everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds to make that happen. Before you go dropping hundreds of bucks on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. I'm holding my pair right here. Oh, listen to this. Ooh, open it up. Shut it. It's got a great little charging case. Anyway, you guys are going to love yours. I love mine. The pair that I'm going to recommend the most is the Everyday E25 earbuds. That's what I have, and they're fantastic. Gives me a really great fit, a noise-isolating fit, and I don't have weird stems or wires hanging anywhere. They just go in there, and they stay in there. They sound great. I get a ton of battery life out of these things. They've been great. Unlike some of the other options out there, they are stylish and discreet. The company was co-founded by Ray J. People like Snoop Dogg and Brandy and Mike Tyson and Rich the Kid. They're obsessed with these things. I kind of am too. They start about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top brands. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design. What else do you want? I know. How about a break on the price? Get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/BOOP. That's boop. Again, that's buyraycon, R-A-Y-C-O-N, buyraycon.com/boop for 15% off Raycon wireless, wireless, Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/boop. Well, there it is. That's that. Now, where is it?
It's me, Mario!
All right, we're going to play Guess Our Game. This is a little thing we play on the show where we play a little audio clip of an older game and we try to guess what each other's game is. And today's no different. I'm going to start with mine. Brian, you try and guess my game. Are you ready?
I'm guessing it.
Okay, here goes.
Oh!
Coffin!
I know this one.
I may have done this one before.
I think so.
The hint is late 80s, early 90s. Arcade, I should say.
I know who it sounds like. No, 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 who does it?
That one part might be the giveaway that you get when he yells.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Either we whatever
is
he that, says.
Like, come with, did he say come with me? Is it? Did he say like, is that like RoboCop or something?
It
like
is
that?
RoboCop. Well done.
Is it really?
Yep. RoboCop.
It sounded like he said, did he say come with me or something like that? It sounded like.
It's like Peter Weller, but horribly compressed and sounds just terrible. Anyway, that's it. Well done. You got it.
That was good because I recognized it immediately, but the voice is what really gave it away. But I think it's going to be kind of the same thing with my game. Some of the sound effects, you're going to say, oh, yeah, really, I think that's really familiar, pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be some sound effects that you're like, oh, it's so easy.
All right. Well, here it is. I'll play it and see if I can figure it out. Here we go. Give me a year or an era.
It's more recent than we usually do.
Okay.
I think this is around 2000. I think the first one of these is a series of games. The first one came out around 2007.
Okay.
And at first it's a little tough, but it's coming. Actually, the first one may have been 2005.
Oh, 05?
Yeah. It's a long-running series. It's been around for a while.
It still runs today. Can I get a new one of these now?
You can give me one of these.
Oh. Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. I had to edit that just right because I was like, oh, man, so much of the stuff just gives it right away.
Yeah, that's it. The lightsaber is what got it. The rest of it sounded weird, but now that I know, and that click, 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 click was... Those when they, you know, they build up the Lego thing and then build up to the next level or whatever. Yeah, that's what that is. Those games are still fun, dude.
Oh, I love them. They're I love the Harry fun. Potter one for some stupid reason.
That one's all right. I like the Indiana Jones one for some stupid reason.
That's not stupid. That's like probably one of the.
It's one of the better ones. I think the newer Batman ones and the Avengers one was really good. Too. The Marvel stuff's been good. They're all weirdly good, even though they don't really do anything new. They look better over time, but I don't know. They're kind of just ugly and whatever.
Yeah, I'm here for the basic mechanics and the humor. Yeah. I mean, that's why I play those.
Yeah, and you're getting a lot of fan service playing all these characters you love and doing it in a funny Lego kind of way and that sort of thing.
Right.
It's pretty.
There's something oddly satisfying about the collection of the Lego bits and the building. Even though they're not really doing anything, they're just kind of going. But it's something satisfying.
Something feels good, yeah. I wonder if they'll do more of those this next gen or not.
2005, man. It's been 15 years since it started.
That's crazy. That's the year you and I met. Think of that.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some kid was born that day, and he's 15 now. He's 15 years old now.
Right.
Some kid in high school was 15, and he's just always getting boners and stuff. And now he's 30 now.
Now he's 30.
And he probably doesn't get near as many boners as he did when he was 15.
No. Probably not. None of that medication.
Think of that. All right.
I try not to.
No, let's not. Let's never think of it again. Pretend we never even talked about it. All right. Moving on. Well done on that. That was great. Okay. We are going to dive headlong into an email. This is a message that came from Thomas from Missouri.
Missouri.
I feel like we've heard from him before. But anyway, he says, hey, Scott and Brian, I was recently listening to the top 5 podcasts from the Major Spoilers Network. It's a great podcast, by the way. We agree. Yeah. We like everything Steven does. And Rodrigo was talking about a game he used to play, but no longer has working multiplayer because there are no servers for the game left. This reminded me of the time that I bought a game for less than $2 and thought I was so lucky until I realized I had no single player campaign to play and no longer had working multiplayer servers, so I never got to play that game. I wish you would have said which one it was because that's a thing.
Yeah,
that is definitely a thing. I realize. Let's see. Okay. Has worry over a game losing multiplayer or support because it has no working servers ever kept you from buying a game, or do you still buy the game and take that chance? Really enjoying the show, guys. Thomas from Missouri. All right. So usually I'll know. Like, I know, I'll know a game. Like, if it's like Madden 2002, I know those right. servers aren't running anymore. You know what I mean?
Limited time.
You just know they're not. So even if you got it for a buck, might still do it because you can still play the game. If you're really fond of that version of the game, you can still play. But there are plenty of games, including ones that aren't even that old, that just... Remember Firewatch? Was it Firewatch?
Yeah, Firewatch was an amazing... A
couple years ago, something like three, four, five... It was right before Overwatch, I want to say it. But anyway, that thing was like... At every PAX and every E3, they had giant booths. They're making this huge deal about it. They launch it, nobody plays it, they kill it. So there's somebody somewhere who spent a bunch of money on that game and then didn't play, hardly got to play it. I feel bad for those people. But MMOs are like this, you know, plenty of MMOs have come and stayed, but plenty have come and gone. And when those go, like the Matrix Online, you aren't playing that game anymore. You paid $49 for it, but you're not playing it.
Nope.
I think that's just
good thing, though, is if I don't feel too insecure about that. I can't think of a time when it was widespread across the market that games, big games especially, were just failing outright. And now it's even different because most of the games I got, I can tell almost immediately from all the Steam reviews and just, you know, how the developers are responding, whether it's going to be something that's going to be around.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you have more tools now to make those decisions that you didn't have when you just walked into a game store and saw something on the wall and didn't know what was going on behind the scenes.
Taking a crapshoot. So, I do like the fact they sold you a box and some... in a coaster.
I want to know what game. I would love to know what game it was. Just absolutely curious about what that is.
Is $2 a decent price for a box and a coaster? I mean,
sure. I don't know. It's cool to have a thing that no longer, like if I had an old copy of something that doesn't run anymore. Like if I had the Matrix Online, I'd probably hang that up on the wall somewhere.
I mean, I still got the City of Heroes box. I mean, you could argue that I could, you know, jump through all the hoops and still play on some of those
the secret
private
servers
but I mean for the most part it's pointless.
Our mutual pal Steve Hammaker plays Star, or I don't know if he is now, but he was playing that Star Wars MMO. What was that called? Star Wars Galaxies, that was it. That's long gone, but there are some like secrety servers you could get on and still play that thing. So, and boy does that look like ass, by the way.
Right.
Ugly game.
Not good.
Ugly. Anyway, for its time, I guess it was okay. So thank you, Thomas, from Missouri. We appreciate your email. If you want to send your own in, boopshow@gmail.com is the address to use. Also, in the intervening time until we see you guys again, make sure you use our website, frogpants.com/BOOP. You have games you want to recommend. You have other thoughts or feelings. There's ways to get a hold of us there. And as always, you can find us on Twitter, @BoopShow. Brian's @TheBrianDunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. Brian, before we go, do you have any deep... I don't know.
Wisdom? No, I got some shallow thoughts, though.
Well, give me a shallow thought. Go.
All right. Well, not really. Last, this little thing, I didn't really mention it, but I want to mention it. I've been playing Beat Saber. I got my Windows Mixed Reality out and decided to start playing a little Beat Saber.
The game's great.
And that's a great game, man. That's a lot of fun. And I really need to just go out and go ahead and get the next Oculus thing because I enjoy this Windows Mixed Reality, but the laptop I got...
Starting to hitch on you a little bit.
It does okay, but there's lots of times where it's like, oh, time to reboot.
Yeah.
We done started getting glitchy.
Nothing wrong with a hot, sweaty session of Beat Saber. So go beat your saber. We'll be back next week for more. Thank you all for being here.
Beef Saber.
And we'll Beef Saber. We'll see you again. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.